This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. A robo-advisor is a digital platform that uses algorithms to automate your investment portfolio, aiming to essentially simplify the process. This can be an alluring concept to many who find investing intimidating. Currently, there are four in Malaysia: Stashaway, MyTheo, Wahid Invest, and Raise. Besides these four, there is also BIMB's Best Invest app that uses the term robo-intelligence instead of robo-advisor. Now, what does this term mean? And is the Best Invest a platform that you should consider? Well, to find out and help me explore this, I speak with Najmuddin Muhammad Lutfi, CEO of BIMB Investment Management Berhad, which is a subsidiary of Bank Islam Malaysia. Najmuddin, welcome to Ringgit and Cents.
Hi, Roshan. It's my pleasure to be here.
So I think let's just start with the new buzzword that I'm hearing here, robo-intelligence. It's apparently different from robo-advisor. Could you get into what differentiates this?
Well, there is a regulatory definition for robo-advisors. So there's a special license for it. So if you want to use the term robo-advisors, so there is a specific requirement for it. In our case, we are, you know, BIMB Investment is a full-fledged investment management company, Islamic investment management company. And pretty much all UTMC or unit trust management company can do online transactions. So for our BEST app, yeah, BEST, it's actually an offering of a online or digital investment. It's we are offering an online transaction directly into our funds. So when we say robo intelligence, because there is an element of intelligence in our BEST app, where, for instance, understanding the investor's risk profile, and we are able to then match the risk to our funds, you know, based on the risk return of our funds. So there's a lot of big data analytics involved, some form of machine learning is also involved. So that's why it's called robo-intelligence.
Right. So at this point, robo-intelligence doesn't have a regulatory backing to it, right? It's not like the term robo-advisor means something from a regulatory point of view.
Yes.
So is this just the digitalization of your asset management then?
Yes. So, I mean, you know, just coming back on robo-intelligence, it's a universal term. I mean, if you're in the digital space, you know, machine learning, artificial intelligence, robo-intelligence, it's just a universal term now. Yes, I mean, we are in the digital business. I think, as you know, there's huge demand for it. You know, I think people want convenience, you know, people want fast access, yeah. And people also want, you know, low-cost entry to investing. And that's why when we developed BEST Invest app, the main thing that we are taking away from the investors is that, you know, they don't really have to think about the initial capital anymore, because it's only 10 ringgit to invest through BEST Invest app, and you would have access to global equities, to Asia-Pacific equities, to global ESG suku, and also to money market. So there is no more excuses, you know, there are no more excuses for investors not to invest, not to put aside that money, because, you know, just 10 ringgit. And on top of that, there's zero sales charge. Yeah.
So I guess the key here is that convenience factor, right? So what it is this is the, it's a convenient digital platform interface on a mobile app.
Right.
For basically what is traditional asset management
yes.
service.
Yeah. I mean, traditional asset management service or fund management, you know, you tend to, you know, fill up all these forms. You know, you have to do your KYC and everything. It probably takes some time, you know, if you're using the traditional platform. So with BEST, you know, you just need probably less than 10 minutes to complete the whole exercise, to complete all the whole exercise, and be able to invest.
So let's talk about the intelligence in the robo-intelligence then. I mean, at this point, that's really part of a big part of the marketing around this app is how the algorithm or how the platform helps you decide how to allocate your funds. I guess that would be the best way to put it. So explain this to me. What kind of information am I inputting here? How does this suggest funds to me?
I mean, there's a standard questions. I mean, if you go through the traditional process, you know, you'll also be, you will be asked about your, you have to do this suitability analysis to really understand your risk tolerance, your to understand your risk appetite. So similarly with Best App, you'll go through that process, but you just need to answer a few questions, and then you will know whether you are aggressive or moderate or or low risk investors. So from there, then there'll be recommendations. If you because we have two options in the Best App, whether you want to do it yourself, meaning that you already know the funds. For example, you know the global equity funds and you want to invest in that fund, so you can go directly and invest in that fund. But if you're not sure, you want the app to make that recommendations. So based on your risk profile, so the app will actually recommend you. If you're aggressive, maybe you have more exposure towards equity. And then the equities can be a mixture of global equity, Asia-Pacific equity, Malaysia equity, and there'll be a weightage allocated for each of the funds. The great thing is also, if you are a low-risk investor, for example, you can't actually buy a high-risk funds. So that's one good thing when it comes to compliance, like using our apps.
So basically, when we talk about the information that is gathered and how we input that, is it basically just a risk-reward questionnaire? I think a lot of investors are generally asked to fill this in.
Yes.
Is it just simply that?
Yes. It's a risk-return profile to understand your risk appetite.
So the key point here is really this is just the digitalization of an asset management firm.
Yeah.
Cool. Something you pointed out there is that, one, if I feel confident enough, I can pick my own funds.
Yes.
Right? I think you've got five funds available there. Or I can have the app help me out through the questionnaire and kind of suggest.
Yes. You have to go through the questionnaires, whether you want to do yourself or you don't. Yeah. It's part of the onboarding process.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would it be fair to say that the intelligence factor is in the suggestion part?
Yes.
Now, there are already four robo-advisors in town, right? One is even backed by PNB. I think that's Raise. So why should someone pick your platform then? I think this is the competition right now, right?
Yeah, I think for the robo-industry in Malaysia, I mean, it's still at the infancy stage. I think it's great that, we're seeing everybody's, going into this robo space and offering these options to investors. I mean, we don't think that that's really a competition, I think everybody has unique propositions. I mean, in our case, we're in the Sharia space. And on top of that, we're also in the ESG space. We're offering a Sharia ESG space. So we only have Sharia ESG in our app. And so that alone is already a differentiation, to investors. I mean, they can have multiple robo advisors if they want. Ultimately, I think what we always advocate is, one should diversify their investment and also look at, how they do their investing, how they do their investment. Are you timing the market or are you doing dollar cost averaging? So we're actually addressing that in our Best App. If you want to go direct to a global equity, you have that option. But if you don't want to time the market, you want to do dollar cost averaging. So we have these options called Do It For Me. So you can do, monthly deductions, for example. And the beauty of that is that you can put as many goals that you want. Is it for retirement? Is it for education? Is it for a trip to Italy? So you can put that. So we make it very convenient, easy, dashboard-like kind of, app. We're trying to take away all these jargons, to make it really easy for the investors to invest now.
Yeah, I mean, the user design is definitely of the utmost importance when it comes to any form of app, right? Yeah. And I think we've seen a similar design ideation from the robo-advisors out there, at least the ones that I've played around with. You talk about the goals and all these are all very important parts of that. Mm. But I think when it comes to any form of fund management or when it comes to investing, taking a look at the assets and the performance is, I think, the most important thing. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. I've been speaking with Najmuddin Mohammad Lutfi, CEO of BIMB Investments, and you've been listening to Ringgit & Sense. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. This morning, I'm exploring BIMB Investments' Best Invest app with Najmuddin Mohammad Lutfi, CEO of BIMB Investment Management Berhad. Now, Najmuddin, when we ended, we were talking about the design factor, but the point I think we ended on was the asset itself or the underlying assets of whatever we invest in are the most important thing and the performance that comes out of that. Now, when we look into the assets that you have, you've talked, I think, there are global equities, there are Asia-Pacific, there are Malaysia equities. You've got five funds right now on the platform.
Right.
So what kind of assets are we looking at here?
Well, we have three main assets, equities, sukuk, and money market. And within equities, we have global equities, we have Asia-Pacific equities, and Malaysia equities. I mean, obviously, the risk-return profile for global equities is different than Asia-Pac equities and Malaysia equities. So we're offering a very diversified asset classes in our best app.
At this current juncture, you only offer five funds, and they're all BIMB funds. Are you going to open that up at any point?
Well, so far, our plan is, because we plan to launch more new funds. I mean, we're not a fintech company. We're a fund management company. So we manage funds and we develop, innovate new funds. So we have a couple of funds that we're planning to launch. It will be Sharia and ESG. You know, it will be global. It could be different kind of strategies. You know, it could also be ETFs, you know, in the future. So we plan to add more funds into the app. But what we have is, I think these are the basic essential building blocks of an investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a global equities, you have an Asia-Pac equities. Because if you look at the fund management industry, which is about, you know, 800 billion size, I mean, largely investors are going to global equities, Asia-Pac equities, and largely Malaysia equities. And of course, you know, you have the bond side, or in this case would be sukuk. So you already have the whole range of building blocks if you want to start investing. So the plan is, you know, we are going to focus on our funds because we have the capabilities to develop our own investment funds.
So for all intents and purposes, as it stands, the Best Invest app is basically a marketplace for your own funds, and that's the situation it's going to be.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about the funds that are on the platform. We've got the Global Fund, which on a year-to-date basis is about It's just slightly in the red or just about flat at this point. The Malaysia Sharia ESG Fund, which is about 11% a year to date, and the Asia Pacific Fund, which is about 3% year to date. Mm. These seem to be lagging the market overall. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's those performance. I mean, when we say year to date, that is as of July, which is 7 months. I mean, these funds have a longer track record. I mean, for example, our global equity is almost, it's more than 4 years. And the thing is about our global equity, it behave like a what do you call this? The profile of the fund. It's like a fixed income fund, but performance like an equity fund, because the fund rebalance on a daily basis between cash and equities. So in March, I mean, in February, March, during the at the peak of the COVID-19, the portfolio holds about 80% in cash and only 20% is invested. Yeah, so it's rebalanced on a daily basis. So although it's a global equity fund, but the risk management it's very dynamic. And for the Asia Pacific equities, I mean, obviously this is a fully invested equity funds, similarly to our Malaysia equity funds, it's also fully invested. The thing is, the main difference is the Asia Pacific is previously was quarterly rebalanced, meaning that, you know, we update the stocks on a quarterly basis, but now it has changed to monthly, and our Malaysia equities is rebalanced on a monthly basis, and these are all done quantitatively. Yeah, but if you look at the because we always when we discuss about fund performance, we always encourage investors to look at full market cycles. That is minimum 3 years instead of looking at year to date. I think a lot of people like to talk about year to date because it has a connection to, you know, fixed deposit, for instance. You know.
So if I look at some of the fun fact PDFs that I have open, if we take a look at the Malaysia Shariah ESG Equity Fund, now that on a, since its inception has beat the benchmark on a 3 year basis, on a 2 year basis, it has done better than the benchmark. But the Asia Pacific Shariah ESG Equity Fund and the Global Dividend Fund One have not beaten the benchmarks on it at the long-term basis. So it has been of a mix. And this, I think, brings in the argument of why shouldn't we look at investing in the S&P 500 or, you know, something more passive? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing is, for a fund, you need to have a benchmark. And this benchmark, it's a benchmark, at the end of the day. But the strategy of the benchmark is obviously different than our fund. You know, I mean, for example, the global equity benchmark, I mean, it doesn't rebalance, and it's not even ESG, it's not even Shariah, because the global equity, our global equity fund, it's a the benchmark is MSCI, All Country World Index. So if you look at the strategy of our fund compared to benchmark is completely different. But if you look at the absolute returns on performance of the fund in the last 4 years, historically has been generating about, you know, 6 to 7% annual return. Yeah, for the Malaysia, for the Asia Pacific equities, I think for Asia Pacific only this year, I think we're seeing some movement into this. In this market, I mean, this Asia-Pacific market, equity market. I think the last couple of years, the Asia equity market, Asia-Pacific equity market particularly, has not done very well. So it's Asia-Pacific, I think the last 3-4 years, compared to other markets, didn't perform that well. But what we're seeing now, Asia-Pacific equity markets making a comeback. Yeah. So probably, you know, best time to position yourself now or, you know, before. Yeah, I mean, we always encourage investors to, you know, buy when, you know, price is at discount.
So, I mean, it would be hard to quantify exactly what kind of international exposure we're looking at, because that really depends on how you answer the questionnaire and then depending on the ratios at which the allocation for the different funds are.
Yeah.
But let's say if we take a look at the global dividend fund that you have, is that primarily US-based or is it quite spread across the board?
Well, for the global equity fund, the approach is bottom-up. We look at every single companies in the world. It's a global equity fund. Mm-hmm. You know, there are about 77,000 stocks listed globally. So we look at every single one of them. And the first thing that we do, we screen on the ESG. You know, there's a scoring between 0 to 100. Anything below than 25, it will be dropped. And this will be rebalanced on a quarterly basis. Then we look at the Sharia screening. Then we look at the financial analysis. Then we do the momentum analysis. So it's bottom up. So And important is also the liquidity of the company. So we look at market cap, for example. So it has to be 3 billion and above. So we end up with, you know, very large companies, very high quality companies. So largely, the companies that when we screen them on a quarterly basis, on a monthly basis, on a daily basis, largely are US-based companies. And mostly are developed countries, you know, US, Japan, Sweden and Switzerland and Europe. So I would say at the moment, 30 to 40% is US companies. But the thing is, I understand that we're talking about specific funds, but how the app works is really is having conversation with investors and asking investors, what are your goals? If they say, I want 100,000 in 5 years. So what we've done is, based on the 100,000, you know, based on your risk profile, then we allocate the fund. So we do the weightage of the fund, maybe 30% in equities, global equities, and maybe 40% in Asia Pacific, you know, 20% in Suku, yeah, the remaining probably in money market. And that is also based on this risk return profile of each of the fund in the last, you know, 3 years or 5 years.
Yeah. So there is definitely a system to it, right? So your screening process looks quite extensive and it really prioritizes the ESG and the Sharia compliant elements. So already there are certain walls around it. So even if we take a look at EPF, they've got different returns for the more Sharia compliant and the normal fund, right? One of the most important notes for any potential investor would be the fees, right? So I think earlier you said there are no sales fees.
Yes, yes.
But your annual management fee ranges 1.2 to 1.5% for Sukuk and for Malaysia funds, and 1.8% for global equity funds. And then just for comparison's sake, a robo-advisor like Stashaway costs 0.8% per annum. It maxes out at that. So I guess one of the key points there is that there is a difference between a platform that is primarily passive or uses passive funds and a platform that uses active funds like yours that is actively managed.
Yeah.
So I guess the question really is then, is active management worth paying for?
Well, to me, at the end of the day, we always encourage investors is to diversify your investments. And the great things that what we have is our choices. You know, you have passive investment, you have active investment, you know, and there's so much information, so much disclosure about each of the strategies. So it's really the investors to decide, you know. Everything has its pros and has its cons. What's important is you have that diversification, and ultimately it's the investors need to decide, you know, what kind of portfolio do you want? Yeah, so the options are out there.
And on that note, Najmuddin, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're most welcome, Roshan.
I've been speaking with Najmuddin Mohammad Lutfi, CEO of BIMB Investment Management Berhad. Now remember, with all possible investments and strategies, you have to do your own homework, keeping your risk profile and financial goals in mind. You've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasin for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.